Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is the Romans text from Romans chapter 8. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. To say that all things work together for good for those who have God-given faith, well, is indeed a difficult pill to swallow from time to time, especially when dealing with financial struggles or diseases and death. But St. Paul isn't telling us that it will be easy. In fact, he is telling us that all of creation is fallen, along with the Christian, as all creation has been made, well, been subjected to the futility of Adam's fall. So the Christian life becomes one of hope with patience. What is mortal does not compare to what awaits us that is immortal. This is the unseen reality. All the things that make our life difficult are temporal. Even death itself is but a beautiful rest for those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that our sinful nature, our sinful flesh, makes us a people who see absolutely no need for suffering, especially no benefit in prolonged suffering. We want to get everything over with quickly. The world, the devil, and our sinful flesh, they lie to us, falsely catechizing us that life is not worth living if I can't live it on my own terms. This view of life is not only self-centered and grandiose, it is not godly. And we as the people of God, made in His image, need to repent. I pray you understand that you know this is not how God created things in the beginning. Otherwise, well, this life would be a rather cruel joke. God didn't create us to suffer. He didn't create us to die. Before the fall, it was good, all good, in fact, very good. But then man wasn't satisfied being man. Adam and Eve desired to be like God after Satan put the idea in their head. And you know how that works, especially if you're a parent. Your child sees something they have to do. You tell them no, but they still have to do it. Just like we as adults. We get an idea in our head and we're not going to let anybody persuade us from doing differently. And so they thought that they could be like God. And since the fall, contrary to the prosperity gospel preachers and the false theologians of man, we are not living in God's perfect creation. We do not get heaven here on earth. And anybody who is telling you differently is delusional. We dare not forget that all of creation fell in Adam's fall. So is it any wonder that we have come to this point in our society's age where we don't even know the difference between male and female anymore? That we're confused on that basic definition or the definition of what marriage is. The fall has encompassed everything. The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals on the land, the plants, and even the weather are not as the Lord intended, which could be why we go from global warming to global cooling to climate change. Because we really don't know what the heck's going on. Sin has brought suffering to us, and it has its place in our life whether we like it or not. As the wages of sin is death. James, the brother of our Lord, tells us that our suffering can show us the compassionate and merciful Lord. In James chapter 5, he writes, "As an example of suffering and patience, brother, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. And you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." I mean, for a society that wants to avoid suffering, we are a people who have to look at the cross and know that at the cross of Christ, we see what good can come out of suffering. as the God in flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, bears our sins and suffers our punishment for us. And to share in the glory of Jesus, we are also going to have to share in the pain he suffered. Christian suffering is often, well, not as dramatic as it is around the world, where our brothers and sisters in Christ are being put to death just for their faith. Here in the United States, here in West Bend, it's not such a dramatic effect, but it can still be overwhelming. But it is only temporary, dear friends. Physical ailments will pass away, either through healing this side of heaven or eternal life on the other side, where every eye will be wiped, the tears will be removed, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have completely passed away. So until we get to heaven, we are living in what is best described as the trail of tears. Not something we want to brag about, but it is the facts and realities of how we live. And the trail of tears brings the reality of suffering. Paul doesn't question this reality of suffering. In fact, he takes it as if it's a given. Look at the text. I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. This suffering we all feel. Physical suffering of health, be it something that's common among most people, arthritis or cancers or strokes, and the list could go on and on. Financial suffering with being laid off or unemployed or underemployed. Emotional suffering with loneliness and depression, and spiritual suffering, which can simply be doubting what you believe or struggling to remain faithful in a world that wants to know no facts and yet question everything at the same time. Well, this is just more proof of the truthfulness of God's Word. But has God's Word ever been proven untruthful? We also know that it is one thing for us to suffer, but it is even worse when the one suffering is someone we love. It's hard to watch the ones we love die. An often unmentioned form of suffering in the life of a Christian is that of, well, a Christian parent or child or spouse not knowing if the people that they love have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and will be with them in heaven on the last day. This silent suffering is the deepest and most difficult kind, because this suffering brings a seemingly unending series of doubts and questions concerning eternal consequences. Oh, how we search and struggle to find ways to confess our faith without causing earthly separation. As we seek, as one author put it, a God without wrath, bringing people without sin into a kingdom without judgment through a Christ without a cross. But this God and this people and this kingdom and this Christ do not exist, dear friends. If you are not a sinner, you're in the wrong place. This is God's mouth house of grace. It is where the forgiveness of your sins is declared. And if you feel you have no sins, you have deceived yourself and the truth is not in you. This is a hospital for those who are broken and wounded, not a gymnasium for you to work out your awesome faith. The trail of tears is so far reaching in its bringing of suffering that all of creation is in it as well. Paul writes, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage of corruption to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." All of creation suffers and reflects our sinful human condition. It's easy to look at the earthquakes and the floods and the tsunamis and the droughts and the list of horrible life-ending diseases that seems to be just continuing to grow out of control. These are all those signs of the coming of the end. They're not the end. Jesus says in Luke's gospel, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But the sad truth is that the ease of life can make us more complacent and more focused on earthly things instead of on eternal things. In true godly wisdom, God gave Solomon this faithful prayer that can teach us what St. Paul calls godliness with contentment. As Solomon writes, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and dishonor the name of my God. So our suffering in this life and in this world serve us by keeping us from believing, well, in ourselves. As the famous poem put it, I am the master of my fate and the captain of my soul. What kind of arrogance is that? I was up in Sheboygan just a few weeks ago before I left for France, and I drove by a fellow, and in his bumper sticker on his car said, self-made man. Really? Self-made. So he fed himself. He toilet trained himself. He clothed himself. Well, he had to have started by making himself out of dirt, right? And then he taught himself to read and write. See the arrogance involved in those kinds of statements? We're all dependent on each other and more importantly on God. And yet we think we are the ones in control, and this is the delusion of sin. Having a faith then that calls us to repent, a faith that receives daily bread and even rest now and for eternity from the hand of God. As St. Paul writes in verses 28 and following that aren't part of our text, and I know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. See, this trail of tears will come to a blessed end. The Christian's groaning need not be complaining, but rather a longing for what lies ahead, our final redemption. Our cries come before God, Lord, have mercy upon us. And before we ever spoke the words or thought them, God already had mercy on us. As our Father from all eternity sent His only begotten Son, our suffering can move us then to consider the glory that is to be revealed to us. And in faith, we pray for perseverance to endure both suffering and sufficiency. We are assured of a heavenly reward because Jesus, our only Lord and Savior, has redeemed us through His own suffering in His life, death on the cross, and glorious resurrection. As God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So today we gather as those who are dead in our trespasses and sins and have been raised back to life in Christ. And we who have been washed in the waters of baptism come to the table and receive Jesus, His body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine. How? I don't have a clue. But Jesus said, take, eat, this is. Take, drink, this is. And it's given for the forgiveness of my sins. And on that, my faith rests secure. And so we can taste and see just how good the Lord is today as He declares to you once again, your sins forgiven. Know this, that for the Christian, the trail of tears stops. And it stops not with sorrow and not with brokenness, but with the relief and with rejoicing, for Jesus Christ has removed all our sins and its wages, and has prepared for us an eternal home. So then we can hear St. Paul's words and rejoice. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I ask the